We're reading from two passages in Scripture this morning. Firstly, Psalm 139, and then also Psalm 147. But firstly, Psalm 139, and the first six verses. Psalm 139, and verses 1 to 6. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. And turn over to Psalm 147. Psalm 147 and verses 1 to 11. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse, he taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Amen. And God will bless the reading from his inspired, infallible word. God is wise. He is the only wise God. God is amazing to us. In all that he does and all that he is, we cannot grasp with our little minds. Even with the direct revelation of Scripture and with the illumination of Scripture by the Holy Spirit, we still struggle to understand the basics about God. Not because of any inadequacy in Scripture, not because of any inadequacy in the illumination of Scripture by the Holy Spirit, but because God is so immense. Words cannot adequately describe Jehovah. The human mind cannot adequately grasp God. God, self-existent, doesn't need any one of us at all. God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God, further away than the furthest star by infinity. And yet, God, nearer to you than your next heartbeat. He sustains that. If he should just decide, you won't have another heartbeat. God, pure spirit. God, whom we are like a little bit in some ways, and in other ways we're not like him at all. God altogether different. God infinite, without parameters or boundaries or limits. God eternal, omnipresent, in other words, in time, with no beginning and no end. God unchangeable, the only constant in all of existence. What a God. Now this morning we look at the wisdom of God. God's wisdom. I want to give you 4 points. They are these. Number one, what is the wisdom and knowledge of God? Number two, his knowledge in creation. Number three, his knowledge on the Christian. And number four, his knowledge on the sinner. Firstly, what is the wisdom or knowledge of God? Well, what is wisdom? Included in wisdom is knowledge. Because wisdom is using your knowledge correctly. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge, what you know. So if you don't have any knowledge, it's impossible to have wisdom. You must have knowledge in order to use it correctly to be wise. You may have knowledge and no wisdom, many in the world do, but you cannot have wisdom without knowledge, because wisdom is the application of what you know. God's wisdom, what is that? Well, it is his knowledge properly applied or outworked. God's wisdom, or God's knowledge, is, according to the Shorter Catechism, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. His wisdom is infinite. God's wisdom knows no limits, no boundaries, no parameters. In other words, in his wisdom and knowledge, he is omniscient. He knows all things. But his wisdom is also eternal. It never began. It never will end. He always had all wisdom, so he never had to learn anything. He just knew everything. Always. He always knew everything. All possible, actual, knowable data. But his wisdom is also unchangeable. It will never change or wane. It says in Acts chapter 15 and verse 18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. He already knew all works from the beginning. And known, the word known in that Acts passage, Acts 15:18, is a present indicative. He knows. And it's indicative. A simple statement of fact. It's a simple statement of fact that God already knew all things before the beginning of anything. So that's his wisdom and his knowledge. It says in Psalm 147 that we've just sung, his understanding is infinite. That's verse 5. The Hebrew word in Psalm 147, verse 5, the Hebrew word for understanding means intelligence, skill, insight. His intelligence, skill, and insight is infinite, without limits. Let me give you a quote from Robert L. Raymond. He knows to perfection and without qualification all things visible and all things invisible, all things in heaven, all things on earth, all spirits, all thrones, all dominions, in heaven and hell, all matters past, all matters present, all matters future, all the thoughts of every mind, all the words of every tongue. He knows all the activities of every creature, living and dead. He knows all their purposes and all their plans, all their relationships, all their complicities, all their conspiracies, all physical and spiritual causes, all natural and supernatural forces, all real and contingent motions, all mysteries, all unuttered secrets. All true propositions is true, all false suppositions is false. Propositions is false. All valid conclusions is valid, all invalid conclusions is invalid. And always has known them and always will know them. And this knowledge is related to God's wisdom, so that God judiciously employs his knowledge to accomplish perfectly his holy and just ends. This is just to say again that God knows everything and that he employs what he knows wisely with a wisdom that is pure, peace-loving, considerate, and full of mercy and good fruit. End of quote. He knows all things. And he's wise in what he knows. He uses all that he knows wisely. He is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his wisdom and knowledge. Now, that God is that is not liked in evangelicalism today. So-called evangelicalism. You maybe have heard of a man called Clark Pinnock, a professed and well-known in the past evangelical in America. He's an Arminian and an open theist. And he writes in his book, quote, God knows all except the future acts of people. Just think about that. Here's what it continues. He knows all but the future acts of people. Surprises happen in history. God's own knowledge takes account of them when they happen and not before. We see the future as totally not settled. And our assurance comes not from believing that God knows everything exhaustively, but from believing that he has the wisdom to handle any surprises that arise. He voluntarily limits his power so that the creature is able to decide things. End of quote. So God knows everything according to Arminianism and Clark Pinnock and open theism. He knows everything except the future acts of people. Peter, before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times. Was that a guess? or did he know that Peter would? It's a future act of a person. Paul, I'm going to show you how much you will suffer and you will preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Was God just guessing the future acts of Paul? Because he knows all things, but not the future acts of people. And John the Baptist, he's going to come and be the forerunner of the Messiah. He's going to preach in the wilderness. Well, he might have changed his mind, mightn't he? God was guessing, was he, at the future acts of John the Baptist. And as he goes on, surprises happen in history. And God has the wisdom to deal with them when they arise. So God is sometimes surprised by people. And then when he's surprised, he uses his wisdom to handle it. God, in other words, you know what they're saying? I want to fill this out for you because this is very serious. What open theism and Arminianism taken to its logical conclusion teaches is this. God reacts to his creature's surprises. God is a reactionary force and man is sovereign. Because the sovereign person in any situation is the person in control is the one that acts, isn't that right? And the subject is the person that reacts. Well, they've turned God into a reactionary force. He reacts to our surprises that we give him. So in open theism and Arminianism, God reacts to the sovereign, sinful, free man. Now, I needn't tell you that is obviously not true, what they teach. That is very, very wrong. In fact, there's two words for that, and the first one is heresy. And it is heresy to say what that man said. It is a different religion. Worshipping a different God. Because the God that Clark Pinnock writes of is not the God I worship, because he is not the God of the Bible. It's a different religion. And their idol is the will of free man. The worship of man's sovereignty. That's what it is. Man's free will is the God, and Jehovah is subject to man's free will. And that is apostasy. That's the second word that it actually is, apostasy from the truth. I give you a quote from Robert Raymond. Pinnock's depiction of God's knowledge of the future in the light of hundreds of predictions that God makes about future events and specifically about his Messiah, quite frankly, places God within the ranks of the idols of the world and makes him no better than a soothsayer or a fortune teller. When he predicts the future, and it renders his prophecies at best wishful thinking. But for the God of the Bible, nothing relating to the future is uncertain, and there is no future event that is only a possibility until it is actualized by the will of man. End of quote. God knows all things, and he uses his knowledge wisely. Arminianism, taken to its logical conclusion, and open theism. Now, please understand what I'm saying. I am not saying anyone who is Arminian, full stop. I am saying Arminianism, when it is consistently believed, which is very rare, Arminianism taken to its logical conclusion, and open theism, which is an Arminianism taken to its logical conclusion, is a deification of man. It is apostasy, and it is not Christianity in any sense of the meaning of the word. The Bible teaches concerning God's knowledge. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3, Hannah said, "The Lord is a God of knowledge." 1 Samuel 16:7, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." He knows every intent of every human heart. I'm not surprised. He knows your heart. Isaiah in chapter 40. Listen to this. Isaiah 40, 13 and 14. "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding?" Verse 27. "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest thou, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, and neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." Israel, why are you saying, "My way is hid from the Lord"? God doesn't know what I'm going to do. There is no searching of his understanding. The understanding of Elohim, Jehovah, creator, immutable, omnipotent. That's all in those few verses in Isaiah. God. God knows all. It says in the book of Romans, in chapter 11, verses 33 and 34, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?" God knows. It says in John 1, 1 John 3, 20, "God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." And the Greek word is genoske panta. He knows everything. God knows. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28, Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar that there's a God in heaven who is the revealer of secrets. Remember? The king had a dream. It disturbed him. He remembered what the dream was, and he brought in his wise men, and he wanted them to tell him what his dream was, and then tell him what is the interpretation of his dream. Impossible. How would they know what he dreamt? Didn't tell them. And Daniel says, God knows. God knows what he dreamt and the interpretation thereof. And he gave that to Daniel. God knows his knowledge. So, what is the wisdom and knowledge of God? Well, here is the quote. This is my quote. God's wisdom is the perfect application of his knowledge. That's his wisdom. Now, second point. His knowledge in creation. God's knowledge, his wisdom, is seen in the variety of creation. Look at all the variety of creation. Who designed all this? Look at the fish and the mammals and the amphibians and the birds and the insects. They're all different. Look at the variety. Take insects. Not counting spiders, because that's a whole different section. Just take insects. The study of insects is called entomology. But then you divide all that up. And let's just take butterflies and moths that live in Northern Ireland, because we have very little of anything in Northern Ireland. In Northern Ireland, we have 28 kinds of butterfly, depending or not whether we've completely killed the small blue. The study of moths and butterflies is called Lepidoptera. 27, 28 types of butterfly, and moths, just take the moths, 560 kinds of moth. Now that's not counting the little ones you find in your wardrobe in your house. They're called micro moths. There's far more of them. But just the bigger moths, about 560 kinds in Northern Ireland. All different. Different diets. Some fly in the day, some fly at night. Different food plants. All totally different. Look at the variety in creation. And then look at the plants. What a variety of plants. Look at the things that live in the oceans and the rocks, the clouds, space. Look at the variety of creation. A variety in creation is a tapestry of beauty that comes from the wisdom and knowledge of God. But look at God's wisdom in creation also in his plan of redemption. Great wisdom. What marvelous wisdom. God can remain just and righteous and forgive or justify the unjust through the substitutionary atonement of his perfect Son. In the cross of Jesus Christ is found justification and judgment. Love and wrath. Pardon and condemnation. What a plan of redemption. What human would ever dare to have thought it up that the holy, perfect God, the just God who hates sin and never lets one sin go unpunished, that God actually loves sinners and would substitute his Son to save sinners, even though those sinners hate him. Look at the plan of redemption. Do you not see in it the wisdom of God? What other religion of the world has anything like it? That's because they're man-made. In the gospel, you see the wisdom of God. But look at God's wisdom in creation in the area. Look at how he governs his unreasoning creatures. Look how God directs the birds that migrate. Or the bats that fly with no sight but a radar. Or the salmon that come back to the same river, to the same place that they were born from all over the world. They don't have analytical reasoning powers, the animals. Yet God governs them all in their place. He governs his unreasoning creatures. You see his wisdom in how he governs his reasoning, wicked creatures. He has great wisdom in that, doesn't he? God overrules the wicked, the princes, the kings of the earth. And all their wicked actions end up for God's glory. Psalm 76 verse 10 says, "Surely the wrath of man will praise thee." even the wrath of man. Oh yes, the heathen may rage. The people may imagine a vain thing. The princes and rulers of earth may set themselves against God and against his anointed, saying, let us cast his bands asunder and take away his cords from us. But God in heaven just laughs at them. And then he speaks to them in wrath, or as the psalmist says, he breaks their teeth. And their torment in the lake of fire forever is an everlasting monument to the praise of God's judgment and justice. His holiness. He gives them what they want. Everlasting life without God. Because that's what they've asked for all through their earthly life, isn't it? They don't want God in life. They want life without God. Well, he gives them what they want. Life forever without God. And in his holiness, in that wrath, in that hell, in that lake of fire, that is a glorification of God's holiness and his justice and his righteousness. Even the wrath of men praises him. So, that's 2 points. What is the knowledge and wisdom of God? It is his omniscience. We see his knowledge in creation, the second point. In the variety of creation, in the plan of redemption, in the governing of his unreasoning creatures, in the governing of the reasoning wicked creatures. Not one of God's plans will be thwarted by wicked man or demons. Not one. Not one of his plans will be thwarted by the rebellion and sin of men. What wisdom. Thirdly, his knowledge and wisdom on the Christian. God's knowledge and wisdom should bring the believer great comfort. It says in Job 23:10, he knoweth the way that I take. He knows your path. He knows where you are now. He knows where you will be tomorrow. He knows your path. He knows your life. He knows the day of your death. He completely encompasses your path. He surrounds your way. He besets you behind and before. Psalm 139:5. He knows your way. He knows Allah. And according to Psalm 103, let me turn over to it. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame, and remembereth that we are dust. He knows your makeup, your frame. He knows that. He knows, he remembers your dust. He considers that. He knows your tiredness, in other words, your weariness. He knows what you are. He knows your weakness. He knows you're like a flower or grass that's here today and gone tomorrow. Yet he considers that. He considers that we are dust. And he loves that flower. God's wisdom and knowledge in the Christian. He knows your path. He knows what you're like. Isaiah 65:24. He knows your prayer before you pray it. It says in Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they pray, before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Before they call, I will answer. He knows your prayer tomorrow. He knows what you're going to pray in 10 years' time. Word perfect. He knows the last prayer that you will ever pray. He knows your prayer before you pray it. According to Numbers 32:23, it says, speaking to God's people, "Behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." He knows your sin. He knows your pride and your wrong motives. He knows your secret loves. He knows your darkness. He knows your hidden side, because your hidden side is before His face. The darkness is as light to God. David could not cover up his adultery and murder, and neither can we hide our sin. God says to us, indeed to all mankind as well, be sure your sin will find you out. So don't sin. Avoid places of temptation. Close to its evil your way. Close to its evil ways your ear gate and your eye gate as you walk through this vanity fair world. He knows. He knows your path. He knows what you're like. He knows what you're going to pray before you pray it. And He knows your secrets. He knows. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. And how much more value, says Jesus, are you than many sparrows. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Imagine that. Do you know the number of hairs on your head? And when you wash it, and if you come out in the sink or the bath or the shower, He knows, but you don't. He even knows that. How much does that knowledge of God towards us show how much He cares for us? Let me come to the fourth point. His knowledge and the sinner. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He knows the sinner. He sees the sinner. You have no hidden plans, no hiding place. You are before the face of God continually, sinner. He sees and knows everything. He knows the wicked, it says in Hosea chapter 7 and verse 2. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. What a scary thing. God says the wicked don't even consider it. They don't even give it a thought. On they go in their materialism and their pleasure mania. On they go. They don't even consider it. That God remembers all their sin. Every single sin. All of them. They are all before His face. Psalm 90 verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. Sinner, your secret sins are in broad daylight. You are committing them before the face of God. all sin sits in the blazing glory of God's gaze. So face it, sinner, you are totally hopeless. I draw to a conclusion. We do not worship a God who is surprised by the creatures he has made. That's not the God of the Bible. I've given you the first point. What is God's wisdom or knowledge? God's wisdom is his proper use of all knowledge. Second point, his wisdom in creation is seen in the variety of creation, in the plan of redemption, in the governing of unreasoning creatures, and in his governing of reasoning wicked creatures. Thirdly, his wisdom in the Christian. He knows the believer's path. He knows what you're like. He knows what you pray before you pray it. And he knows your sin. And he knows the number of hairs on your head. And fourthly, his knowledge or his wisdom on the sinner. He sees you and remembers all your sin. Sinner, why don't you come under the new covenant? Jesus Christ, his body and blood. Repent, put your faith, your trust in him, his sacrifice, and have the law of God carved on your heart. Sinner, why do I ask you to come under the new covenant? You know why? Because it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and write, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God, who knows all things, decides not to remember or know your sin. Because if you are in Christ, your sin is gone. God's wisdom is infinite, it's eternal and unchangeable. Do you know God?